Welcome to the Wiser Than Before podcast, where each episode will get a little wiser. I'm your host, Josh Dodds. This episode of Wiser Than Before is a learning pod, LP for short, where our upcoming guest teaches us something. These episodes are short and to the point and full of practical tools you can use. They're also a chance for you to sample our upcoming guest's expertise. So if you like what you hear in this episode, make sure and check out the next episode, which is my full conversation with our guest. Today, we're talking with Jennifer Brand about how to choose the right probiotic for your child. Jennifer has two master's degrees in health and nutrition and has a private practice specializing in children's skin rashes. Enjoy. Jennifer, how can a parent choose the right probiotic for their child?
Choosing the right probiotic for your child can be like throwing darts in the dark. And there are so many options out there on the market. The professional grade products, even the best ones out there, may not be the right one for your child. Depending what's happening in the gut really helps us identify what the most appropriate probiotic could be. So for example, you know, when somebody is struggling with chronic skin rashes, in my clinical practice, the majority of kids I see do tend to have eczema, some have psoriasis, some are dealing with chronic hives. When we're talking about what's happening on the skin, we always have to look at the gut-skin axis and see what's happening in the gut, because there is a really close connection there between what's happening in the gut, what's happening on the skin. So, you know, for example, if there are high levels of good gut bacteria, that can be a problem, and you wouldn't necessarily want to use a multi-strain bacterial probiotic. So you're just going to be throwing fuel on the fire. You're going to be adding more bacteria when there's already too much. So that might not be a good thing. Some of the clients that I work with do have high levels of histamine-producing bacteria in their gut, which can be a problem with for a number of reasons, but certainly with what's happening on the skin and certainly with symptoms like itch. A lot of these professional grade, good quality, very reputable probiotics, which are great products for some people, but a lot of those good bacteria produce histamine. So again, you're throwing fuel on the fire if you don't know what's happening in the gut. So certain, those types of probiotics can also be problematic. You know, so what becomes really important is to find out what's happening in the gut before supplementing with a probiotic. If you're unable to get the appropriate testing done, I find that the probiotic that I use most often in my practice and that is safest, no matter what's happening in there, are spore-based probiotics. So spore-based probiotics can be really helpful because they don't add more bacteria. They seed the gut and help the good stuff grow. They also can survive the acidic pH of the stomach on the way down. I always find this interesting. A lot of the probiotic products out there have to be refrigerated. Well, if they're refrigerated, how do you think they're going to get through your stomach acid? Like, that doesn't make sense, right? How are they going to make it through to get to the colon or the large intestine where they need to be if they can't make it through stomach acid? So spore-based probiotics can withstand the pH of the stomach, that acidic pH, and make it down to the gut where we need them to go so that they can proliferate and help the gut, help the good stuff grow. So I typically go that route with my clients.
And with regards to the histamine, if someone has a histamine issue, are there any strains in particular that tend to be more bothersome?
That is a good question. I do have a free guide that people can check out that does list the histamine producing strains that are found in a lot of the healthy good probiotics, and then also the ones that are lower in histamine. So that can be a really good place to take a look for people when deciding on which probiotic to use.
Okay, great. If someone checks out your guide and picks the probiotic, one, is there a right time to begin a probiotic, meaning should it be beginning, middle, end of their health journey? And number two, how could a person decide if they've
landed on one that's actually working well for them individually?
So in terms of timing, it is one of the things that I have my clients introduce within, I would say, the first few weeks of us working together. There are a number of steps that I implement with my clients in my practice. And a probiotic is earlier on, but not necessarily one of the first things that we do. We need to work on making sure somebody's getting nourished. We need to work on inflammation. We need to work on detoxification. Then we start working on the gut. So it is earlier on, but not necessarily the first thing. And another thing that I do with my clients as well is I do implement comprehensive digestive stool testing with them to make sure that we're doing the right probiotic. Again, I usually do start pretty much everybody on a spore-based probiotic. Then depending what's happening in their gut, I might actually do a bacterial strain probiotic as well. There are yeast-based probiotics like a Saccharomyces boulardii that can be helpful for different things depending on what's happening in the gut. And, you know, we can always get into talking about prebiotics as well. Sometimes I use those with clients, sometimes I don't. It depends what's happening in there. But those are all things that I do look at with my clients. And again, you know, really based on each unique individual case.
Right. Is there a range of time that seems to work well on average for people in terms of how long to stay on it? Or is it something that people stay on, children stay on indefinitely, multiple years?
I think probiotics are one of the types of supplements that are helpful to use long-term. When somebody has finished their healing journey with me in my practice, I leave them with like a graduation maintenance plan, and there's always a probiotic on that plan. And depending on what's happening with that person, the probiotic might be something different.
Makes sense. Does your guide talk about your favorite brands or what to look for in a brand, or is there anything you can add about that?
It does. And I can talk about that here. But my go-to spore-based probiotic is called Megaspore Biotic. And again, I find that the spores are extremely helpful for what's happening internally. They don't add more bacteria to the gut. That might not be something we want to do. They help foster the growth of the stuff that we do want, you know, without throwing more fuel on the fire. They're fine if there's a histamine issue. There's not a problem there. They survive the acidic pH of the gut. They actually help too. Some of the strains in the Megaspore Biotic, the spores, they actually produce their own antibiotics, if you will, not literal antibiotics, but they produce their own antimicrobials actually. So they can actually help rebalance the dysbiosis in there. And they also help with endotoxemia, which is when we do have that excess gut hyperpermeability or leaky gut, we get toxins out into the bloodstream that can cause symptoms. And so the spore-based probiotics can actually help prevent that endotoxemia and lower the chance of that happening to reduce symptoms as well. And one of my other favorite things about Megaspore Biotic is that you can open a capsule, mix it with your favorite moisturizer, and apply it to the rashes on the skin. A lot of my clients get improvements on their skin topically with that strategy as well. We have a skin microbiome, just like we do a gut microbiome. And when we do have skin rashes, certainly something going on like eczema, we tend to have a dysbiotic environment on the skin as well. So using the spore-based probiotic topically can be really helpful for a lot of people.
And is that even eczema outbreaks where there's, you know, it's quite tender or severe?
Yes, it can be used on broken skin as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And any type of skin topical creams are okay, or what do people find success with?
Everybody's different. This is, I think, one of the hardest things to determine for each individual person. I have a free guide that's called Ditch the Itch that goes through a variety of factors that matter when we're figuring out what to use topically. You know, products that are pH balanced for the skin are important. So if you're using, you know, over-the-counter, more commercial type products, which are fine, you know, look for things that are for sensitive skin or that say pH balance. Those are good places to start. And also, you know, if you're looking for more natural products, some of my clients find things like beef tallow or jojoba oil or emu oil really helpful. And it can be really tricky to figure out what to use on the skin, again, because everybody's so different. Some of the things that I do caution my clients away from are food-based products, especially if your child hasn't eaten those foods yet, because a broken skin barrier is a mechanism for the development of food and environmental allergies. You can get sensitized to food allergens through the skin. So I do tend to actually recommend, natural's not always better. So I do tend to recommend more of those over-the-counter type products. You know, and if you are looking for something more natural, then that's why like jojoba oil, emu oil, you know, you're not really going to get an allergy. No, I don't think people really eat emu, you know what I mean? So not really going to get an allergy to those.
Not a common menu item.
Exactly. you know, and other products, like a lot of people use coconut oil. Coconut oil is very antimicrobial. That can actually further disrupt the skin microbiome and create leakier skin. Olive oil is actually drying for the skin. So there's so many different nuances. So whatever product you're using topically for your child that seems somewhat helpful, stick with it. That's what I would say. And, you know, a lot of people too, like it kind of depends. Like if I recommend not using coconut oil, but if you're using coconut oil and it does seem to help, coconut oil is a potent antimicrobial. It might be that your child has some fungal dysbiosis on the skin that that's helping with. So, you know, again, everybody is different. And so, you know, if what you're using does seem to be helpful, you can stick with it. And you can mix the Megaspore Biotic with it and give that a try. If you haven't found something that's helped yet and everything seems irritating, there can be so many reasons why that might be the case, you know, in which case the free guide, the Ditch the Itch, might help give you some direction as well.
Great. And where's the best place for people to find your guides?
So you can find my guides on my website. My website is jennifercarenbrand.com. It's JenniferCarenBrand.com. The Karen is spelled a little funny. But so all of the free guides are there, and you can also find information if you want to work with me, information there on how to do that. I work with clients one-on-one, and I also have an online program that is a great place to get started too for folks.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you feel you're walking away a little wiser. Would you like it if this podcast was tailored specifically for you? We're doing something special just for the next 2 weeks. I'm meeting with listeners just like you to get your input so this show can be an even better resource for you. If you've ever gone on a challenging health journey, or if you're currently on one, you're exactly who I want to chat with. You've got ideas, you've got goals, you want it to be easier to get there, and I want to make sure the show delivers for you. How it works is very simple. All you have to do is open the show notes and click the link at the top. That will give you access to my personal calendar, and you can choose a time for us to chat. It's easy. We'll hop on a quick Zoom call, and our conversation will help shape the podcast for 2025. Remember, this is only happening for a very limited time. Click that link, and I look forward to talking with you. Stay wise.